In a world of mindless movie cliches, one podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
And now for a more serious approach to one of the major issues of today. It's the end of the trilogy, Surf 2.
All right, the way I see it, we've got several hundred maniacs running loose, or we've got a serious problem.
Aren't you worried about those two guys that got mutilated out there today?
Nah, we'll surf around them.
All right, we know you're in there, so home on out.
No, Chief.
Talk about having it all. He was short, ugly, nearsighted, and carried a slide rule.
For Christ's sake, don't stop innocent kids from drinking cola and surfing. It's the American way.
So come on out with your fans.
Is that fans?
No, it's hands. It's hands.
Right. Okay.
So come on out with your hands up, or we're coming in after you.
Surf 2 takes off where Airplane crashed, as the surf wars continue to ravage the minds and bodies of innocent youths in their fight for a better tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to VHS Rewind. My name is Mark, and I'm speaking tonight with Chris Hassler. How are you, Christopher?
What's going on? How are ya?
I'm doing all right. I just want to say this is the first episode in the... Do you want to introduce the name of the entire series of shows?
Our Deason Palooza Summer?
Yes, Deason Palooza for Eddie Deason.
It could have been Deason Apocalypse if... Deason Apocalypse. That was Mark's choice. Anyway.
We found that Eddie Deason was popping up in a lot of movies that we seem to want to cover on VHS Rewind. So we thought, why not focus on just his movies that we enjoy?
And let's talk about Eddie Deason, though. He is a singular personality, a singular talent. There's one Jerry Lewis. There's one Richard Pryor.
Sure.
There is one Eddie Deason. There is nobody else could do what Eddie Deason does.
Well, you know, it's funny. He really does. A lot of people compare him to Pee Wee Herman, but he was doing it before Pee Wee Herman.
No way. No,
he even compared himself to Pee Wee Herman.
He's better than Pee Wee Herman, first of all.
I think it's very extremely different. The comparison really isn't there, but I've heard it. That's all.
What was your first intro to Eddie Deason?
I don't know. I mean, I maybe War Games.
That wasn't my first one. My first one was 1941, that Spielberg thing, which I happen to like.
Belushi, right? I've still yet to sit through the entire movie.
You know, I saw that in the theaters as a kid when it first came out, and I was 11?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was funny, and his scenes in particular were really funny. Because, you know, he has the ventriloquist doll, and I thought he was really funny. You know, the movie's big, and it's bloated, and it's really tough to get through now.
Well, I say we try to cover it.
We are. It's going to be part of Deason Palooza.
Awesome. And Deason Palooza will last through June, July, and August. It's going to rock.
Do we have that many Deason films?
I think he's done so many movies, right?
He's done a lot, but like Surf 2, which we're covering today, he's got the starring... The starring role, like the first credit on here.
He's the Lex Luthor.
He is.
Wait, I want to see, just real quick, how many movies could fall into a VHS Rewind category? I mean, his career begins here in 78.
In Greece.
Greece. I mean, I don't know if we would want to cover Greece, would you? I mean, I like Greece.
No, I couldn't do that.
Your daughters would like it.
I want to hold your hand.
Sure.
Might do that one.
I'll hold your hand. Midnight Madness. That was. Did you ever see
that? I don't know what that is. No, I
never saw
that. Midnight
Madness is a movie about. It's like a late night. It's a teen movie about guys going out doing a scavenger hunt, and whoever gets as much stuff on the scavenger hunt by midnight wins. Did you ever do these scavenger hunts as a kid?
I did not.
I did, and you know, you steal things like, you know, you're a menace to society for one night, you know. But there's ridiculous things like, you know, you steal a grave, you know, and it's like nobody does that. But
the cast of Midnight Madness is not as phenomenal as Surf 2, but it's
a good
it's
movie.
Up there.
Midnight Madness is a pretty good. It was like an HBO. You know, I don't feel well. I'm staying home, and it was on like all day. Grease 2. What about Grease 2?
I would. You know what? I would do Grease 2 more than I would do the original Grease.
Well, Zapped.
I would love to do Zapped.
Yeah, it's on the War Games. I think War Games is perfect.
You have been jonesing to do War Games since forever.
Shall we play a game? You know,
how about the episode of Facts of Life when Andy Deason was in it?
How about that all the movies that we've mentioned so far happened before Surf 2? How about that?
That's true. All right.
He was also in a number of episodes of Punky Brewster. Episode of Fall Guy, The Fall Guy.
Magnum P.I.? Jesus.
Critters 2.
He was in Critters 2?
Yeah. Dorf's Golf Bible.
The Whoopi Boys. That has, what's that? Rodriguez. That comedian, Rodriguez. What
was
the hell
he friends with, who's
Michael
Dorf?
Michael O'Keefe and Paul Rodriguez.
But who's Dorf?
Stephen First?
Tim Conway's Dorf, right?
Oh, Dorf. That Dorf.
Yeah. So he's in a couple of those Dorf things. I love Tim Conway, you know. So I think there's more than enough stuff. The Whoopi Boys, I don't know if I ever saw.
I know I rented that when it was out on video.
What was Million Dollar Mystery?
That was...
Kind of like it's a mad world?
With a whole bunch of, like, outside of Eddie Deason. Loser. Let's see, who's in
that? Wow, look at that cast. Tom Bosley. Ooh. Rich Hall.
Tom Bosley, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel for even him.
You know, we might have to do that. He gets top credit.
He does get top. He also gets top credit in Surf 2.
Hey, Million Dollar Mystery is by the director of Amityville 3D.
Well, I think we found maybe the next VHS Rewind episode. It actually found us.
It's funny how these things happen.
Yeah, so I think there's more than enough episodes here to do before 1990.
All right, you're good.
All right, so
you're right.
I've proven my point. Eddie Deason, I don't think you're listening to this episode, but we plan on reaching out to you, so reach out to us. Before we find you.
Right, we are dedicating our summer to you, sir. Yep. And we actually love your presence in movies. And
we want you on. We want you to be the first interview on VHS Rewind.
I didn't realize that Surf 2 had this growing cult behind it. You had pointed out before the show that they had this screening at the Beverly in California, and like a 35mm print, and
yeah,
Eddie was there, and
he was goofing on everyone because it was Friday night. He's like, "This is the you're in LA, and this is the best you could do on a Friday night."
Ouch!
You know,
hey, whatever else, this movie, it really does deserve whatever cult is building up behind it. You know what this reminded me of? I wanted to see if you agree. It doesn't reach these iconic heights, but it reminded me in the way that it just tosses things out there. It reminded me of the glorious Night Patrol.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember look in our archives for that episode when
I want to redo that episode. I want to do it again because I think I took the movie too seriously.
You did. I don't know what your problem was. I mean, granted, I was stoned when I did the episode and watched the movie, but hence my laughter throughout most of that.
But I think I've given it too. I think I gave it such a serious watch, and you know, it's kind of like I approached this movie with a completely different attitude.
I certainly certainly hope so.
Well, I, you know, it wasn't a great movie or anything, but I definitely found myself laughing. I also had a sprained ankle. So
how refreshing was this movie in that it was so totally, you know, sexist and non-PC and, you know, just it was just a breath of fresh air. I can't believe that the movie-going audiences today would rather see men in superhero costumes than a movie like this, which has, and I wrote this down, it has tits like every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I wrote down the timings of every single, I'm like Mr. Skin here, I wrote down every single time. Like, there are tit shots within less than a minute of each other.
And they're just there for no reason.
They are there just for no reason. But they, which we love great. Them there. Love them there for no reason.
But, you know, there were a lot of movies coming out at this period of time which were horrible. Like, they were just summer garbage movies. And I almost feel as though this film was a parody of those.
Oh, definitely of, like, beach movies of the 60s. You know, those... who was in those? Frankie Avalon.
Yeah,
you know, it's so it's kind of like it's those, but taken to the 80s extremes that, you know, with the nudity that's all allowed.
But I
did want to say though that, you know, around this time, if you grew up in this time, there were so many of these teen sex comedies.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what this is. It's not a sex comedy per se. There's nudity in it, but the movie itself is rather, you know, it's sweet in the way it tries to make you laugh with just about anything that they throw in there. And they throw a lot of stuff. And a lot of it I found to be funny. And the booby shots, I mean, they're just booby shots. That's it. And it's not like the women are mistreated in any way, I wouldn't say. You know, so it's not lewd in that manner, like those other, like Private School or Porky's is a bad example.
And, you know, Porky's and Porky's 2 were released in just a couple of years before this came out.
I think
Porky's, that's what it was really kind of riffing.
Porky's was definitely the same year, I think.
Well, Porky's was 81. Porky's 2 was 83.
What? Porky's was 81?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I apologize.
But you also have, like, Private School. It came out in 83. Well, Porky's Revenge came out after this.
Right.
Revenge of the Nerds, 84. So, I mean, you're really kind of... there were a lot of movies that came out. Spring Break came out in 83.
Spring Break, I saw that in theater.
You know, Joysticks is a good example. It's 83.
Awesome.
Trying to see what else is here. Hard Bodies, 84.
Oh, nice. I forgot about Hard Bodies.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, 82. The Wildlife, 84. You Blame It on Rio. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a middle-aged sex comedy.
I'm just joking. although Demi Moore is in it.
True.
The First Turn-On, which I've never seen, actually came out in 83.
You know, Fraternity Vacation. What was that one? There's one with Johnny Depp, Private
Benjamin?
No.
Private Benjamin. Fraternity Vacation came out in 85.
There's the one with Tom Cruise. What was that?
16 Candles came out in 84. Bachelor Party, 84. These are all summer movies. Well, not all.
But movies were so great back then, and now they're just superhero movies.
But, you know, the writer, and I'm kind of missing his name. What was his name? Randall Bedott?
Borat Bedott, yes.
Borat Bedott.
He actually wrote the War Games sequel.
No, he did not.
He did. War Games, The Dead Code.
Does that exist?
It does.
Is that a script?
It's from 2008.
All right, I gotta look for
that.
Oh,
it's a telemovie. Oh, that's why.
What the hell's a telemovie? Is that like a radio show? What is that? That's like worse than a podcast.
I'm sorry. It's direct-to-video if there was direct-to-video.
Oh, my God. it's like people hacking the government computer with the same computer from 1983. but the story is that he was under a lot of medication when he wrote the script.
He had had a surfing accident, right?
Right. He had a terrible surfing accident where something like a surfboard went like split on his head or something. I'm not really sure what the story is, but I read it that he basically threw the entire idea of trying to write a great movie out and just wrote a ridiculous movie.
And got it produced. That's amazing.
Yeah, and got it financed and produced.
And not only that, but was able to sign the cast that he signed for this. Now, I went into this cold. Like I said, I didn't know that it had a growing cult behind it. Mm-hmm. It had Eddie Deason in a starring role, and that's what we were after. But I did not know anybody. I did not even watch the trailer, and I did not know all of these familiar faces were going to be in here. Right. You know, like Eric Stoltz, for crying out loud. Holy shit.
Yeah, Eric Stoltz, which...
How young is he here?
I mean, this was around the time, from what I understand, that he was getting ready to start shooting Back to the Future.
No, he was getting ready to be kicked off Back to the Future.
Well, yeah, but... and what? Supposedly he was also a gaffer for some Kevin Bacon movie.
Really?
I read that. Like, during the filming of this or something like that, in his spare time, he was a gaffer for, what was it? Kevin Bacon movie, She's Having a Baby, maybe.
Quicksilver.
No, not Quicksilver. That was awesome.
Wait, you are a Back to the Future aficionado. Why was Eric Stoltz kicked off there?
He just wasn't working out. It didn't.
He wasn't funny.
No, wait. Was there a reason?
There must be some reason. They had started shooting, so.
Why was Eric Stoltz?
Well, you looked at it. And so let's see who else is in here. So I don't know. Anybody ever watch CPO Sharky with Don Rickles? There's Pruitt, the Pruitt character. Peter Isaacson is in this in a much bigger role than I thought he was going to have. I mean, he almost becomes the hero of this thing. Mm-hmm. let's say Ruth Buzzy, Lyle Wagner from the Carol Burnett Show, Cleavon Little from Blazing Saddles, and most importantly, Terry Kaiser.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. I was just reading why What's-His-Face was kicked off of Back to the Future.
I'm curious. Why?
I'll just read the paragraph real quick. According to the cast and crew members interviewed by Gaines, who I don't know who that is, Stoltz was very dedicated to the role of Marty McFly, but his extreme method acting could drive other people up a wall. He demanded, for example, to be called Marty at all times, even when he wasn't shooting. When co-star Christopher Lloyd was informed that Stoltz would be replaced, he replied, "Well, who's Eric?" Either jokingly or actually believing that his real name was Marty.
Ouch.
During a scene in which Marty had to push Biff, Thomas Wilson, who actually was in a movie I watched tonight, Stoltz insisted on using full force with every take, leaving Wilson with bruises. But I think the people just... basically saying that he wasn't funny. Like, it just Ouch. Wasn't working out, and they looked at the footage and just really just wasn't working out. But, you know, I mean, he still moved on to have a pretty damn good
nice career. Yeah, really.
But, I mean, that's like suicide-type material. When you see Back to the Future blow yes. up as big as it did.
Loser.
Three of them, you know?
Only one of is good, though.
You know, maybe it'll be a future VHS rewind.
Wait, I just want to see.
I'll explain to you why you're wrong.
Eric Stoltz is still working. He's got an IMDb that's pretty...
He's a pretty serious background, you know?
Okay, so, but Surf 2, like, this cast...
Electric Boogaloo. Did you ever see Surf 1?
There is no Surf 1.
Now, there's also no joke to Surf 2. Like, I don't get it.
What do you mean?
Why is it Surf 2?
That's the level of the humor of this movie.
Yeah, like it's
the
like,
subtitle of the film is the end of the trilogy.
At least call it Buzz, you know?
Ouch.
I don't get it.
Let's give folks the plot of this thing.
Alright. You're good at summing that up.
So we have our core group of kids. We have Bob and Chuck. So that is Eric Stoltz. And the other guy, his friend, I think Eric Stoltz is Chuck. The other guy, Bob. mm-hmm. is played by an actor who appeared in Friday the 13th Part 3. Nice. He is the guy who is walking on his hands when Jason chops him in half. So,
is he credited like that?
he has a name in that, but I forget what. I don't know what his name is here. Oh, it's I can't find it. It's Jeffrey Rogers. That's his name.
Oh, really?
He didn't have much of a career after these two flicks. Let's see. And then there's – I wanted to ask you. And then there's the Bob and Chuck's – I don't know if they're their girlfriends per se. But
yeah, like that was a weird scene. Like they just take off their tops and it's like that never happened to me.
No, not those two.
Oh. It's
their two. The
ones who call the cops on them?
It's Lindy Sue and Cindy Lou. You know, it's so it was the blonde yeah. and the dark-haired one. I was kind of curious which one you liked better. Well, just to objectify them.
Well, for Corinne Bohrer, which played...
She was the blonde.
Cindy Lou. I've seen her in so many different things, which is weird because I was like, where did I see her? It was another one of those things where I couldn't remember where I've seen her. And as it turns out, I'm looking up real quick.
She was in Herman's Head, the pilot.
Oh, yeah, that too. And, you know, she was on Dream On.
Oh, shit, she was in Joysticks.
Oh, really? No, damn. I remember her from Police Academy 4, for whatever reason.
Nice.
But I do, she was also in They Call Me Bruce. I don't know if you ever saw that.
She's also in Zapped.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of funny. I thought she was on Family, not Family Ties, Three's Company. I don't know why. But as soon as they saw her, I'm like, oh, that's the girl from Three's Company. She's the cousin who moved
really?
In.
But
no, it's I confused her. I don't know what I know her from, but it's like it's from all of these things.
She was in like so much stuff. I the Jury with Amanda Sante. She was in Zapped. We said
Vice Versa.
My Favorite Year. Jesus. T.J. Hooker, the kid with the 200 IQ. That's where you know her from.
I don't know about that.
MacGyver, Stewardess School.
But I thought she was the cuter of the two.
Yeah, definitely cuter. And yeah, I liked her. I liked her a lot. I think she had more personality.
Yeah.
and then there is the typical character for this type of thing, Big Head, who is this Belushi,
yeah.
big fat guy. We'll talk about him in a little bit. And then there's another pair of friends, Jocko and his friend, who I didn't really catch his name at all. But the flick opens with some surfers surfing at night, and they mysteriously get pulled underwater, and we don't know what that's about yet. But I don't know if you want to play the first clip that I wrote.
The Buzz Cola jingle?
Oh, you can play that. That's going to be an important part of our plot.
All right, here we go.
Buzz is the cola that we drink. We must have it.
Come and get it.
It's not just another drink.
We want Buzz. Give us Buzz.
Buzz will change the way you think.
We want Buzz Cola.
When no one wants you for a date.
Drink some Buzz. Only Buzz.
Feed them Buzz. They'll think you're great.
We love Buzz Cola.
No matter what the menu, Buzz makes every meal complete. We guarantee that it can wash out anything you eat.
Cause Buzz is the cola that we drink. We must have it.
Come and get it.
Get Buzz.
What a creepy song.
It is. It just could be a real thing.
Well, it reminds me of Jolt Cola. Do you remember
that? Is
that
a real thing? No, is that a real thing?
Yeah, Jolt Cola was a big thing like when I was in like third or fourth grade. They had a slogan called twice the sugar and twice the caffeine.
They did not.
Yeah, look it up. Everything's look it up. Yeah, look up Jolt Cola.
I'm looking. That's a real thing?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Jolt Revolt.
Is this still out?
Oh, all the sugar and twice the caffeine. No, I think they went out of business.
Wow.
It looks like a Mad Magazine type of thing,
right? It does.
But it was a real soda.
Oh, my God.
And then they came out Diet Jolt, which is even more funny.
So they I don't know if you want to.
they should totally re-release that.
I'm going to look for a commercial and see if there's a commercial for that.
All right. So yeah, do you want me to play a clip?
Yeah, why don't you play the first Daddy-O clip?
Sure.
This explains what happened the night before.
All right. Where's the wife?
Yo, mama, I have some terrible news.
I can't hear.
I said I have some terrible news.
What?
A couple of our students have been seriously injured.
Big deal.
The boys met with a terrible surfing accident.
What?
I said they met with a terrible surfing accident.
Surfing!
We got an important news bulletin from City Beach, ladies and gentlemen. It could affect the Buzz Invitational Surf Contest. The police are on the scene, apparently investigating a surf accident. We'll have more details later on that to fill you in, so stick with us.
I also want to point out that they're driving, I'm going to guess, a 1974 Super Beetle.
The VW Bug?
Yeah, the it's a VW Super Beetle. With the curved windshield, which in my eyes is not a very attractive version of that car.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you liked the car, actually.
No. It's a curved windshield, so the curved windshields are the newer ones, which, I mean, they're good, they're nice cars and stuff like that, but they're not my kind. I wouldn't own one.
Ouch.
The ones I have are a little bit older. But,
you mentioned during that clip, yes, the first tits are seen at 5:10 in.
Yeah, three of them. Three sets. Three. And you know, another thing, when the guys moon them back, the guys really moon them. Like, this is a real hairy, dirty ass.
There's a few of those in this movie.
But they really, like, go for it, you know? And it's like, wow.
This is what I miss in movies. This is what I'm missing.
You couldn't make this movie now.
Like you, this, why? Why is that? I don't think anybody is even trying.
Because of the cry bullies. Everybody's offended by something, or they're online to be offended.
I think if you made a movie like this and put it out there, it would be such a novelty that it would be a big hit.
Yeah, and I wonder who would be able to get behind something like this?
Us.
You want to find? I'll throw 10 grand
into it. I'll 10. Yeah, exactly. That's all we need for something like this.
Yeah.
In that last clip, one of the other major attractions of this is the soundtrack.
Actually, if David Lawler's listening, I say we have a round table and throw together a script.
Right.
I'm not kidding, man. Maybe. I got a couple Beatles. I got the Cars. All right. But yeah, you know, there is something really refreshing about this movie. It also seems like it's not the greatest weather throughout the entire movie. Do you get this? Like, it seems like overcast constantly. Or night.
Do you want to hear something funny? This is a teen sex comedy, and just from those opening shots with the surfers in the water, it was so dark I couldn't make out what was going on, and I was kind of worried. But the cinematographer on this, he did Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia.
Really?
He did, I mean, a whole bunch of other kind of junk and a lot of Spanish.
A But bring me the head. I mean, that's a major film. That's
The Savage Is Loose, Man Friday, Devil's Reign. Damn, nice. The Great Scout and Cat House Thursday. I mean, this guy did like credible stuff.
I mean, what I'm thinking is that, is it possible they sold the film that was going to be one thing, and then they just kind of created something else?
Like I say, I think, or you said that the man, this guy did so many flicks. Fade to Black, Cable Blanco, which is a Bronson, Sorceress, Blame It on the Night.
You know, this movie actually did not come out in the summer. It came out in January.
He did more Bronson. Firewalker, Murphy's Law, King Solomon's Mines. He was a canon regular. This came out in what?
In January of 84.
No way.
Yeah.
Counter-programming. I like it. You want something about... That's
I'm looking for numbers. I'm looking for some money here. There's like nothing. There's like no information on this movie.
Now, another thing I got worried about was, like, it's 13 minutes before we get to our first Deason clip. He doesn't show up for 13 minutes in, and I was like, but he got top billing. Where is he? So I don't know if you want to play that clip just to give everybody a taste of the Deason.
All right.
This podcast is going to be heavy with Deason clips because...
Well, they're the ones that really kind of shine here.
A lot of the jokes are visual, so we can't really give people like the taste of the...
Well, here's the thing. Eric Stoltz, he got a lot of screen time, but it's like, he doesn't really carry the scene.
No, and he's not like funny.
And there's a lot of times these, the jokes kind of don't work or they just kind of fall flat. But then you get to Deason, it's like, he just kind of... There's something about him where he really kind of pulls the entire scene together.
Yes.
He nails his lines, but there's a lot of things that are just not on paper that he's doing that are just incredible.
And his voice is, as opposed to everyone else in this flick who's flat,
right?
His voice is like so distinctive. It's almost like musical or beat, the way that he rattles out his dialogue.
It's like the way Woody Allen might approach a scene.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So here we go.
I hate this. Everywhere I go, your punks follow me around. And this makeup, not me.
By the way, this blonde is very good looking.
Yes, Linda Carriage. She was in Fade to Black.
I thought it was Blondie at first. She looks a little bit like Blondie.
What are you talking about? You look beautiful. You look sensational. You look like the Sanyo girl, only better.
Get up. It's flashy and it's tasteless and everything you've always hated.
Yeah, well, tacky or not, you gotta wear it. It's what those surfers and the Knicks go for.
Man, no, I don't want them to go for it. I want them to go for me.
Look, do me a favor and save that whole Earth catalog stuff for Werner Earhart or the Moonies.
It's important to me.
The only thing that's important to us is ridding the world of this blighted idiot surfer. Okay, you guys, give them the works.
I wish you hadn't done that. That was so nice.
Nice? Nice, my tush. Do you know how many brain surgeons, nuclear physicists, or Nobel laureates have been surfers? I'll tell you, none. Look, trust me, honey, we're doing the world a favor. And just in case you get any smart ideas about leaving, just remember where you'd be without me.
What do you say, Bunny?
And for crepe's sake, quit calling me Bunny. Good old Buzz Cola gets him every time.
He gets him every time.
So what Eddie Deason as Menlo Schwarzer is doing is he's a mad scientist who feeds surfers Buzz Cola, which turns the surfers into zombie punks.
Yeah.
Complete with like your worst nightmare of what a punk rocker would be.
Now, more importantly... I'm wondering what Sanyo ad is he referring to?
The Sanyo girl? Sanyo
girl. Now, I found one Hawaiian one from 1984. I don't think it's that. So we're going to have to dig around because there's one where it's like kind of an Olympic person. So we'll dig around and see who he's talking about.
Do you think we'll find a was Sanyo?
Sanyo made like VCRs and radios.
TVs,
and
right?
Yeah, everything. Sanyo was like a big deal. So we'll dig around and see if we can find
a Sanyo commercial from your.
Yeah.
So he's enlisted the aid of Sparkle, who was the woman that you just heard there, mm-hmm. because they were both nerds when they were in high school, and they used to be laughed at.
These sets look crazy.
But what?
The sets look crazy.
Like, and the miniatures under the water, I was like, wow, what? How much money did they get here? It does look really good.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to play her story. Let's see. Where was that clip? It explains why she is with him.
The origin of Schwarzer?
Yeah, I guess that must be it. That must be it.
Hold on. Give me a sec here. I did not have an opportunity to clip this, so we're doing it live. And again, she's a very good-looking girl.
Menlo Schwarzer was a genius, a brilliant chemist. Talk about having it all. He was sure.
By the way, this music is great. It's like Nightmare on Elm Street or... it's excellent horror music.
Short, ugly, nearsighted, and carried a slide rule. Then, one day a group of surfers played a cruel practical joke on him. They put some chemicals into his soda at lunch. I don't know what it was, but it changed him. Ever since then, the only thing he thought about is revenge. I ought to know. I was his girlfriend.
Well, that's impossible. The only girl Schwarzer ever hung around with was Florinda Budnick, nerdiest girl in the school.
Florinda Budnick?
That's the way I looked until Bunny... I mean, Menlo discovered a way to make me beautiful. And that's the way I'll look again unless he gives me my treatments. That's why I had to help him, and why I've been so afraid to tell you the truth.
It's too late to worry about that now. You boys have got to get out there and win that surf contest while we figure out a way to stop Schwarzer.
Your clip actually says to go longer. Do you want it to go longer?
Only because it includes the song. But
yeah.
Well, okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but
and who is that? Is that the Stray Cats or?
I don't know. I was wondering if you would know.
I know the Stray Cats are here somewhere. I don't know all the music that's on here, but I was surprised to hear a number of the songs pop up.
I know Oingo Boingo is on here.
Yeah, a bunch. Danny Elfman. But no, I'm not 100% sure on that. But, you know, the soundtrack is supposedly on Columbia, but I cannot find a copy anywhere. I went on Discogs, and there's no reference to it existing.
Let's just to give another taste of the soundtrack, if you want to play... Cue number three.
Mm-hmm.
This includes a song, but also during the song is extended footage of a girl showering. And like I say, I don't know. I was like, hey, I could watch this all day because the mix of the music and the surfing and the girl showering for no reason.
Oh, another thing. Who's the short cop?
Ron Palillo.
Oh, okay.
Where do I know him from?
What do I know him from?
Horseshack.
That's all right. When I was watching him, I freeze framed it. I'm like, all right, who is this? And it clicked that it was Horseshack. Yeah.
Did you notice he doesn't have like a real line of dialogue? He doesn't have a line of dialogue.
But he was the bigger star here. I'm thinking, right? I mean, he was on a leading TV show. I mean,
this is 84. This is so many years after Welcome Back, Carter.
When was Welcome Back, Carter?
In 2 more years, he's going to be in Friday the 13th, Part 6, and get killed within the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Is he still around?
I
Look it up. I'm going to play that song.
Hey, Daddy-O.
What have we here?
By the way, Daddy-O is the principal's name. Who is?
Cleavon Little.
Who's in
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles, in one of the most memorable scenes in that movie.
Chef? Well, I'm not sure. But nobody goes near the water until I get to the bottom of it, and don't call me chef. Inspector Underwear, get over here. Asshole. I want you to dust the beach for prints.
Eat him with the knights.
Excuse me, son. All right. The way I see it, we've got several hundred maniacs running loose, or we've got a serious problem.
What makes you think that?
Well, how else could two boys be attacked out there in the middle of the ocean during...
It'd be a great white.
Never thought of that. No? This looks like it was done by professionals. I want you to keep all those kids in school until I crack this case.
In the school, but it's the weekend.
That's your problem. I've got enough trouble of my own around here.
I don't believe it. A couple of guys get wasted, and what do? Close the beach.
Oh, bummer.
Kids.
Oh, here it is. Clear the area. All right, everybody, clear the area.
Hey, no problemo, Chief. Let's bail!
Shit, that's not what I meant.
What's funnier? The idea that Eric Stoltz is out there on a beach at all, being that he looks as though he would burn immediately. at some point I remember seeing him on a surfboard and it was a terrible, terrible like green screen.
There are a couple of shots, especially in the in the climactic surf contest, there's a lot of the green screen stuff where they're obviously just standing on a...
But why wouldn't he just go out there and surf a little bit, just for the camera?
He's from New York. I don't know.
I mean, everybody can surf a little. Get a boogie board. I don't know. I mean, it's just, it doesn't make any sense that the lead, you know, one of the people who's the lead in the movie...
Can't surf,
or doesn't surf.
And shouldn't be in the sun.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be in California.
No, shouldn't be nowhere near California.
Let's play another Deason clip, because I love listening to this guy. Let's do number 5.
Okay.
I forgot what this one was.
Doesn't matter. It's a Deason clip.
Hey, we're a surfer.
Oh, no, surfer. You guys are behind the times.
You guys are geeks.
Oh, no, you're wrong. These kids are hip. Here, why don't you have a soda and let's talk.
Buzz? Yeesh. I wouldn't drink that crap if you paid me.
That's what you suckers think.
What'd you say?
I said this is what all the surfers drink.
forget that. Check it out. Oh, quenches.
All right, that was fun.
I'm Bob. Excuse me.
By the way, Eric Stoltz is wearing a no nuke shirt, which is so 80s. It's ridiculous. And it's a picture of a Statue of Liberty holding up the torch, and then behind it is like a big sun, I guess. It's like the worst shirt ever.
Ouch.
You want another Deason clip?
No, I just want to, let's go to this clip where this shows how, because then we'll do a decent clip afterwards and you can tell who's more talented.
Right.
So in this scene, Stoltz and his friend have brought these two chicks, not Cindy Lou and Lindy Sue,
mm-hmm.
these two other chicks to a shack on the beach. And the girls obviously want to get over, but the boys just want to tell their surf stories.
Yeah, it was getting a little bit weird there because it's like they were really, really into each other, the two guys.
The two guys, exactly.
So,
but here's some acting from these boys.
Yeah, if you want to call it that.
I was really wasted, and a multitude of us came up for this party, and we went surfing, and it was midnight, and there were 12-foot tubes, and I was screaming out this space.
What's in here?
Totally vertical. And what appears?
Just drink it.
A rock. A really big one. What'd you do?
What do you mean, why? You were there.
I know, man. I just love to hear you tell it.
It was May 12th.
All right. I'm going to tell you. Same night, man. 12-foot waves. I fall in, right? I'm cruising along. West wind in my face. Waves are breaking right. And I'm just fucking total vertical, man, all right? I look right. Water. I look left. Water! I am toked, man! Totally toked! I mean, we're talking greener, right? And then this cat, this geek, man, I look at him, he's a total geek, he comes in from nowhere. Geek! I look at him and I say,
I'm throttled!
It was bitching, man! I just lunged him!
See, what disturbs me about that scene is I guess they're intentionally trying to be annoying, and they are achieving
it. I don't know.
You see, the girls are getting kind of annoyed with this, like
they're not listening to these stories. They don't care.
Well, they look like they're getting annoyed at them, and it's like I'm thinking I'm on board with them. Like I'm getting kind of annoyed with them as well. Then they get up and they lift their tops. So,
well, that's later. So then the boys just don't do anything about that. Like they just don't. They continue with their surf stories.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
I'm just curious if you played that last clip just a little bit more.
Yeah.
The other girls, Lindy Sue and Cindy Lou, show up.
Yeah, I'll play
in a car. I just wanted you to see that car because I was like, what car is that?
Let me take a look.
It is so big and boxy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a Woody. Yeah, that might be, it's a Woody, you know, car. It's,
I was like, wow, holy cow.
Let's see if it's a Studebaker Woody. Yeah, it's a Studebaker Woody. At least I think it is. Yeah, this is exactly it. 51 Studebaker Woody.
That looks so big and boxy and, like,
awesome.
I figured you'd like that.
I mean, I wouldn't want to own something like that because that really is made of wood. well, my friend has a 53 MG, and that's half wood as well.
Ouch.
So stupid.
So Lindy Sue and Cindy Lou show up, and again, they must be the girlfriends of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that my girls, was it Cindy Lou, is always got her hands on Eric Stoltz. Wherever they go, like there's a scene in the movie theater later on, and she's always putting her hand around her.
Okay.
But here, they know that they're in there with girls, so what do? They cry rape and call the cops?
Yeah, it's like, I know what I can do, and she pulls one of her straps off, and they call the police.
And then the cops come, and it's a humorous scene when the cops are firing real-life bullets at these innocent people in the shack there. Again, it plays funnier than I'm telling it. But
it is a funny scene, actually. But yeah, it's really, you have to see this movie. You have to see this whole movie to believe it even exists.
But let's do the next Deason clip then at 8.
Okay. Give me a second. This might be a little early. This is where he's drinking the motor oil.
What's this next guy? This is the best surfer in the world. This could have been me, fellas, but I decided to give my life to science. I remember once I was riding this 50-foot tidal wave. I thought I was a goner. Hey, Hey, come on in. Come on in, you guys.
Hey, Menlo. What do you say, Schwarzer?
Hiya, pal.
Hey, I guess we're not as young as we used to be, huh? Boy, I didn't get my first win.
Hey, your boys getting ready for the big surf contest next week?
Yeah, they're ready. What about yours?
Oh, yeah, they're going to be surfing all right. But between you and me, I don't think they have much of a chance against these wave burners.
You ought to be ashamed of yourselves saying that about your own sons. Any normal parents want their kids to win.
What?
Anyway, there may not be a surf contest. All because the monsters you three have created.
Listen, that's no way to talk around these kids, okay? I mean, anybody can make a mistake. Nobody's perfect. Can you relate?
Don't pay any attention to her. She doesn't know the first thing about supply-side economics, not to mention what we're doing for the city and the national economy.
I do so. You're just trying to force that crap soda of yours on the kids so you two can make a fortune and you can get your stupid revenge on the surfers.
Oh, I see. We just about hit the nail on the head.
Well, you guys better be going. See you later. Time to go. It's getting late. See you later. Thanks for dropping. I'll take care of it. Don't worry, I'll handle it. See you later. Don't forget to write sent to her. See you later, folks. I'll take care of it, and don't worry. So long.
I think the whole thing stinks. I'm through.
Oh, you're through, are you? Come here.
You used to be so nice to me. Even if the kids laughed at us, at least we had some fun.
Look at this. Remember her? Well, take a good look, because in exactly 3 hours, this could be you, the nerdiest broad in this whole town, unless you cooperate and do exactly as I tell you.
Okay, Bunny. You win.
Get in here. Look, don't worry. It's not so bad. Tomorrow I'll take you out, and this time nobody will laugh, because I'll be out with the most beautiful girl in this whole Nudnik town. And here, put this on. This will keep you beautiful for a few more hours.
Essentially puts her head in like a big foam case.
Which is what turns them into the punker.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And they show the picture of her, what she looked like. And it's like a big 8.5 by 11 page. It's of both of them, and it just says, the nerdiest couple. But the thing is, he looks exactly the same. So it's kind of funny. He accepts the way he looks, you know.
Well, there's a thing that he explains to us at the end, if you want to play that 13 clip. This
okay.
Hold on. Might be a spoiler, but it's Deason's big scene.
Well, you know, this is one of these scenes where, you know, by the time I got to this movie, I was like, all right, let's, you know, what's going on here already? And I thought that this scene really kind of was worth it. I think that it's, you'll just listen. It's pretty good.
Ah, that should about do it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I submit for your approval. No, no, I'm not going to tell you. It'll spoil the surprise. Okay, clip him in, fellas. Put him in there. Get him good. Yeah. Yeah.
Bunny, that's enough.
Enough? Why just start it?
Please stop. Before it's too late.
Too late? That's rich. It's already too late.
What time is it?
Oh, it's about a quarter. Never mind that. See what I told you? There's no hope for these slobs.
Please, Bunny. For me. I'll come back to you. I'll make you happy. My treatments don't seem to wear off anymore.
Bow, bow.
I'll give you children.
No, it's too late for that. That might have worked once, but not again. I used to want to be like the other kids, you know. I wanted to be a surfer. I wanted to be hip and bitchy and gnarly. But that's over now. It all ended one miserable afternoon. I was having an innocent soda, and they spiked it. And you know with what? With a powerful reverse sex hormone. Do you know what it's like to be the only guy on the beach with tits? It's miserable. Yeah, go ahead. Laugh it up, you guys. You're next.
I thought that was a really good scene.
That was a big reveal.
I was just like, oh my God, it's so funny. Like, it made me laugh again while this movie, you know, I really think that Eric Stoltz brings it down. Like, he pulls all the funny out of a scene.
I'm not going to go there.
I just don't think he's funny.
I think there's enough happening around him that we don't really notice.
No, you're right, but I just find when he's when he's part of something, I don't like it.
He's it's funny how non-distinct he is, mm-hmm. given that he, you know, he's been in. Well, I guess he's always been kind of non-distinct. You know, it's not like he did anything ever that was. You know, I can't think of anything that he really took control of, like took over and shined and took, like Deason takes every, takes all the attention.
Well, what about a Mask?
Oh, zing.
No, well, he was getting masked, but that was really
amazing. He's under a mask. No, you don't even know it's him. And he still has that voice that just doesn't, it has no depth to it. It's just this flat, not even a manly voice. It's just a, I don't know. He's just got, he's very nondistinct.
You go to, I'm looking at a quick thing. I remember he was halfway decent in Pulp Fiction. But you know, as the time goes on, I like the movie less and less.
Yeah, I never liked it. I
was not a big fan in the beginning. I thought it was a good movie for what it was.
I'm exactly with you. I am exactly with you on that.
It's just I didn't. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking here, and I don't really
like what. What is distinctive in anything that he had done? It's actually, like
you
nothing. Know
what? You probably never saw it. I forgot he was in this. He was in the TV series Caprica, which was the prequel to Battlestar Galactica.
You know, I did not watch that.
And he was phenomenal in that. He really was.
Phenomenal?
Yes.
You know, I liked him. You know what? I like Bodies Rest in Motion. I like Naked in New York. I like Mr. Jealousy a lot. But he doesn't bring much to it. I mean, it's a role that could have been done by anybody. You know, I don't, but I do like those movies because they're well written. But and Mr. Jealousy, I do find funny. But again, it's not because of anything he's doing in particular. It's more the writing than anything else.
What about Rob Roy? No, but I do remember him being very good in Caprica. And Caprica was a really, really underrated show. It was supposed to bring more to the table. And it just never delivered, but it was a very, very well done TV show.
Did that last more than a season?
I think two seasons. It finished. They finished it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they got to the point where, because basically it was basically the explanation as to where the Cylons came from, and he was a big part of their creation.
Interesting.
He actually was the person who first invented them. You got to see it. I mean, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal story.
You asked earlier, is Palillo still around? And he's not. He's dead.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know he was gay?
Horshack?
Yeah. I didn't know that. That doesn't
surprise me. Nothing surprises me. I mean, sexual choices, it's like everyone.
Just, no, I was just, I didn't mean that. I was just like, I was surprised. That's all. I just thought he was a funny character.
Now, who's the big guy with the glasses? The
That's Lyle Wagner, Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, like who is he in this?
He's the chief of police.
No, not him.
Oh, Peter Isaacson?
Maybe it's him.
Beaker? Put down that Beaker.
Yeah,
Becker.
He looks like Beaker. Yeah.
Put down that Becker, Beaker. See, that kind of airplane humor is in there, and a lot of stuff just goes by really quick. Like, you have to listen for it.
Yeah, there's a lot of little lines that kind of float around.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, there was even a reference to Airplane where he says, don't call me something instead of saying, don't call me Shirley.
Right, don't call me...
I think the girl's name was Shirley.
Don't call me Chef.
Yeah, it's no, like, because Shirley, don't call me Chef or something.
I don't know. I was really – this is like one of those films where I'm surprised by it, unlike like Night Patrol, which I knew about, loved it, still find it funny years later. But this what was that one we did by Hal Needham? Rad?
Yeah.
I had never seen it. Fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. Same with this one. I didn't – have never seen it before. Didn't know much about it. Fell in love with this thing.
Yeah, I mean it's
great, and it is a Deason crowning performance.
But I will say, Night Patrol did bring a great song to the table.
This has
this is a great song.
I know you'd like to think my life depends on you. Why don't you take a listen round? If your thoughts don't make a sound, why don't you change your way of thinking? If you're gonna make a run, boy.
I don't know. I want to revisit this movie on the VHS room. I really do. I really think I.
I am down to do it again, and we invite our listeners to do a call-in session with us to talk about that movie. I will talk about Night Patrol from here to eternity.
Well, one thing, actually, if people are listening and they have a technical background, one thing we're trying to figure out how to do, and I think that we do have a solution on Google Hangouts, and that's to be able to watch a movie with you and comment on it live.
Like have a 2-hour show?
Yeah, like we'll just play the movie, everybody watches it, and it's just you and I kind of riffing on it.
I'll do it. But you don't know how to do that, or can we do that?
You know, there's limitations and everything because every time we tried it, the buffering gets a little bit weird, or you're not seeing exactly what I'm seeing, and things get kind of strange. Mm. So we have to figure it out. I mean, there are solutions, kind of like we can always do the 3-2-1 press play. You know, that's a solution.
Yeah. Maybe it could be one of the films during our Deezen Palooza.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe we get Deezen on board to watch one of his movies.
Back after a little bit of a technical difficulty with Skype, Chris, we have to revisit having our kids do one of these shows. It would be really great. We actually had a whole conversation, didn't get recorded, so we're just going to sum it up. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. VHSRewind.com is where you can find out everything. Surf 2 was great. I think it was a great introduction to the Deezenthon, everything.
Just a good start to summer, actually.
Yeah.
This is actually what I really wanted to do, is like one of these summer sex chicks in bikinis, chicks not in bikini type flicks. And,
even though it came out in January.
This was such a great surprise. Like, yeah. I think anybody who sees it will fall in love with it.
Yeah, I think that at the very worst, you'll walk away confused.
But loving Eddie Deezen.
Yeah, it's a strange movie, but I think it's a worthwhile one.
So join us for our next Eddie Deezen flick, which I think we decided upon.
Oh, yeah. Which one was that? Wasn't War Games.
Million Dollar Mystery.
Yeah, Million Dollar Mystery. Check it in. Tune in. Tune in. Subscribe. iTunes. In 1 week. Everywhere. Yeah, in 1 week. All right, man.